Appreciate Chris and the team leading us in worship today. You know, last time Chris was here was back in early December, and since then he and his wife have had a new baby girl, and so that's exciting. So if you saw that glow on his face, that was the lack of sleep glow. And we really, really appreciate him coming today to be part of our worship time. Hey, it's great to gather today. I've not seen Judy yet, but Judy Milam, somebody told me that you're back. There you are. Isn't that awesome? What a miracle of God. Welcome back. I haven't seen Ken. Somebody told me Ken's here too. Ken Evans, wherever you are. All right. And it's awesome. Welcome. Welcome back. You know, God is moving and God is working in our lives. He is a God who is very present. God who wants to be involved in every little detail of our life, the big, the small. You know, sometimes we feel like we need to say, God, I know you're busy. You don't have time for this. I'll handle this one by myself. God says, no, I want to handle all of it for you. And so no matter what the issue is, no matter what it is that we're facing, whatever it is that we're going through, God says, I really want you to bring it to me. And I really want to take care of these things for you if you'll just trust me with it. You know, maybe you came in this place today, maybe a little overwhelmed by some things going on in your life. I want to tell you, God cares about those things, and He wants to meet you here today, and He wants to help you deal with them, whatever they are. I'd like for us to take just a few minutes before I look into God's Word in Luke chapter 10. I want us to take a few moments to pray. I've got two people on my mind, but there's really a lot more than just two. There's a lot of folks even here today in this congregation, and maybe not able to be here for one reason or another, but I'm thinking of Lilia Jones. Lilia's having a procedure tomorrow. She's got an infection in her lung. Lilia has cystic fibrosis, so when you have an infection in your lung, that's a big, big deal. And so I wanted us to pray for Lilia and to pray over Lilia, and I've asked our elders if they'd gather around her for that. And I know Susan Fulgham is having a surgery this week. Is Susan here? I want us to pray for Susan today. As she's preparing for surgery on Wednesday, she's really, really had a tough time. And I want us to lift her up in prayer. And you know, you may be sitting next to someone, and you know, you're sitting there thinking, you know, Tim doesn't know this, but he ought to mention her name too. I would ask, during this prayer time, would you just reach over and put your hand on that person, and could you just pray for them? And let's just ask the Lord to move in a powerful way, to bring healing, to bring encouragement, to bring hope, to bring perspective, and just ask God to do what God does best, all right? Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for being our God. Thank you for loving us, for caring for us. Thank you for walking with us through dark moments, through bright moments. Thank you for never leaving our side. You tell us in your word to cast all our care upon you because you care for us. We don't understand that, God. But thank you. Thank you that you love us like that. You care for us. God, we think of Lilia this morning. We lift her up to you, Father. We trust you because, Father, you are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You tell us to call out to you. You tell us to cry out to you when we stand in need. And God, Lilia needs your touch today. So we come as her church family and hold her before you, Father, and we pray that you would touch her body and that you would bring healing to her lungs. That you would help her through this time of infection, whatever it is that they're going to do this week, that it would work. And that you would just bring complete healing to her, Father. We know that you can do that, and we ask for that. God, we pray for Susan. She's had such a tough time these months. I pray that this surgery that she has on Wednesday would be a tremendous success and would bring relief to her. We trust her, God, to your care. And Lord, there's so many others in this congregation who are either struggling with issues, someone in their family struggling with problems, or maybe a dear friend. God, we hold them up to you. We just stand in need. Lord, as a nation, we stand in need. I look at where we stand now. We've come so far from you. God, I pray for revival in our land. I pray for revival in our churches. I pray for us as a nation as we consider our next president. I ask that you would direct us, that you would guide us. God, just help us to keep our eyes on you. You are our only hope. You are our source of life. So we just trust that you would guide us. Lord, thank you that you're here. You tell us we're two or more gathered. You're right here in our midst. Thank you. And as we open up your word today, I pray that you would speak truth to our hearts. We want to grow. We want to grow to be more like Jesus. We want our character to be like the character of Christ. So I pray that you'd help us to see these truths in your word today, and that we'll go out of here impacted by it, changed because of our time of worship, because we've met with you in your word, and you've spoken truth to our hearts. So we commit this time to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Some time ago, there was a telephone survey I'm still struggling a little bit with my own issues. So if I cough, sorry about that. Thankfully, germs do not come through the microphone out to the congregation. So that would be bad. So if you'll forgive me if I have to cough every now and then. A telephone survey was taken some time ago, and they just simply asked this one question. Do you consider yourself to be a generous person? Let me ask you that. Do you consider yourself to be a generous person? Suppose your phone rang this afternoon and someone said, hello, I'm taking a survey. I just have one question. Do you consider yourself to be a generous person? Just in your own mind, how would you answer that? Then they ask a follow-up question. What is the last thing that you did that expressed your generosity? Now, here's the thing with the survey. They didn't write down their answers because they didn't really care. All they did was they timed how long it took for them to respond. And the average was 20 seconds. They would say, well, let's see. Seems like, you know, they hem-hawed about it a little bit. Then finally, 20 seconds or more later, they responded with something. Here's the thing. On that survey, 90% of the people who were asked this question said they were generous. But the average amount of time it took them to think of something that they had done that was generous was at least 20 seconds. What does this survey say? It says that while we think we're generous, maybe we're not really so generous. I want to talk about generosity this morning because I believe that God has called us to be a generous people. And as we're thinking about growing to be more like Christ, as we're thinking about moving into 2016, which we're thoroughly planted in the new year now, I believe that God wants us to grow in generosity and how we relate to others, how we connect to other people. When we think about generosity, I'm just going to use this definition. It is the act of doing more than is expected of you. The act of doing more than is expected. Now, typically, when we use the word generosity, we think of money. And certainly the Bible has a lot to say about money in relationship to generosity. But it's so much more than just money. It actually affects every area of our life. It affects every relationship of our life. It affects every connection point of our life. I want us to think about being generous people. It's really an attitude, if you think about it, that shows up in everything that we do. I want us to look in Luke chapter 10, because while this story that Jesus tells addresses a number of things, one thing that it certainly addresses is the issue of generosity. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. Now, Jesus is reacting to someone's request, actually to be his disciple, to be his follower. What do I need to do? And Jesus told him, you need to love God with all your heart, and you need to love your neighbor as yourself. And then the man says, so who is my neighbor? And then Jesus tells this story. He said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, speaking of the lawyer, he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. I was thinking about this story. This is a familiar story. I could have just said, today I'm going to talk about the Good Samaritan and not read it, right? Many of us would say, oh yeah, Good Samaritan. I've heard that story. And you know, sometimes when we approach a familiar passage of Scripture, we skim over. Do you ever do that? Oh yeah, I know that. I got that. And then we skim on to something else. And I think we can miss some things. I don't want us to skim this today. I want us to think about it. I want us to think about what is God really saying from this passage of Scripture to us, specifically about this area of generosity. If we're going to grow in our Christ-likeness, if we're going to see personal growth in our life this year, I really believe this is one area that we need to consider. Now, Jesus is just telling a story. We need to remember that. I've read things as people dissect this, you know, Good Samaritan story. It's really kind of funny. They're trying to figure out some of the facts about the Levite and the priest. Here's the thing. This is just a story. It's just a fictional story. Jesus made it up. People are trying to surmise, well, was the Levite going to the temple or was he coming from the temple? He's a fictional person. He was doing neither. He was just in the story. He's walking down the road. That's really all we know. But it is significant that Jesus said there's this Jewish man who's going down. He was attacked by thieves. He was left for dead. And then two people walked by and ignored him. It's also significant that the two people Jesus chose to include in his story were religious leaders. One of them was a priest, and one of them was a Levite. He was from the family, the tribe of people who actually worked in the temple. These were people who were busy with religious activity. His point is not whether or not they were going to the temple or whether they were coming from the temple. His point was these were people steeped in religion and they ignored a hurting man. I want you to think about this story because I think it's so easy for us to get consumed in life and ignore the people who really need us to be generous. And it's also easy for us not only to get busy with life, but to fake ourselves out and to deceive ourselves into thinking that we're really all right because we're focused on the most important thing. You know what God says is the most important thing other than Him? People. Reaching out to people, blessing people, going the extra mile to communicate God's love and mercy. I want us to see several things about generosity from this story, and then we'll look at some other scriptures as well from the Word of God. First of all, we need to understand the basis of generosity. What is the real basis? What is it that God says is the is the foundation aspect of being generous people? Now, this lawyer came to Jesus, and he asked this question, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? He says, I want to live forever. What do I need to do? It's a good question. Jesus made this familiar statement. He says, well, you need to love God with all of your heart. And you need to love your neighbor as yourself. We need to understand that because Jesus is laying a basis. He's laying a foundation stone, in a sense, for all of life. These two things are essential. These two things are primary. First, that we love God with all of our heart. That God is first. Isn't that what Jesus said in another place? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. God says, I want to be first in your life. Matter of fact, if I'm not first in your life, everything else is going to be out of sync. Has your life ever been out of sync? I've got a wonderful app on my, actually it's on my computer, it's on my iPhone, it's on my iPad. It's awesome. When I type something into it, it's called Evernote. I love it. Anybody use Evernote? It's awesome. Here's the cool thing. I'll type something on my iPad, and it shows up on my computer. Isn't that amazing? And then, lo and behold, it's on my iPhone. There it is. I can just read it wherever I am. The other day, I was looking at a list of things I was working on, and I had updated. And the only thing is, when I pulled it up on my iPad, it had not synced. Matter of fact, something screwy had happened. And I had a long list of things, and it was telling me that it was out of sync. and it didn't know my iPad was confused. It was confused, and it didn't know which list was the most current. And it was out of sync. You know, I looked at that list. I said, you know, my life is like this sometimes. I get out of sync. I get out of sync with what's going on. I get out of sync with what's important. I get out of balance, and my life is topsy-turvy and out of control. You ever get that way? God says, listen, the solution is seek me first. Put me first in your life. Love me with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. Be consumed with me. Be focused on me. Let me be the sovereign of your heart. That's really what he wants. That's really what Christianity is. Christianity is not just about going to church. It's not just about doing religious things. It's not about saying religious comments. It's not even about reading your Bible, giving your money, or serving it. I mean, it's not just about those things. It is about placing the Lord Jesus Christ as the first, primary, most supreme person in your life as you surrender to him as your Lord and as your Savior. That's what Christianity is. When you turn from your sin and you trust Jesus, you surrender to him, you believe that he died on the cross and he rose again from the dead. You believe that if you repent of your sins and ask for his forgiveness, he forgives you and places you in his family where you'll spend all of eternity. We call it Christianity. When you do that, when you place Jesus first, then other things are affected. You want to go to church, for example. You want to give. You want to bless others. You want to serve, all these other things that we talk about. But this lawyer came and says, what do we need to do to inherit eternal life? He says, well, love God. Put God first in your life. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Wasn't it interesting that this lawyer, this very intelligent guy, says, so who is my neighbor? And then he tells this story. From this story, I think we can see that we are commanded to be generous. This is part of the basis of generosity. God says, you're commanded to be generous. I want you to be generous. In verses 36 and 37 of our text, Jesus asked the question, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. Notice that the lawyer didn't say the Samaritan. They hated Samaritans. Wasn't it interesting? The two religious guys went on the other side of the road in Jesus' story and ignored the hurt guy. And then the guy that all the Jews hated, he's the one. He was the hero of the story. I love that. Jesus kind of threw that in there. He used a Samaritan. The least of the guys that anybody would think would do this, he used a Samaritan in the story to say he's the one who was the best neighbor. He showed mercy toward him. But look what Jesus said to him. Go and do the same. The Samaritan was the generous guy. He was generous with his time. He was generous with his energy, with his efforts. He was generous with his service. He was generous with his money. He said, hey, here, I'm paying you up front. But if this doesn't cover it, when I come back, I'm going to take care of that too. He was a generous man. Jesus said, go and do the same. All throughout the scripture, God commands us to be generous. Look at 1 Timothy 3:18. The Apostle Paul, God speaking through him to this young pastor, says, go command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. God says, I want you to do this. I want generosity to be part of your culture. I want it to define who you are. I want it to describe your character. We're commanded to be generous. Rick Warren talks about this issue of giving. People have a tendency when they hear the word generosity or give, or automatically we think money, and automatically we have these negative things begin to swell up within us. But here's what Rick Warren said. He says, the word believe is used 272 times in the Bible. God wants you to believe, right? The word pray is used 371 times in the Bible. God wants us to pray. The word love is used 714 times in the Bible. God wants you to learn to love. But the word give is used 2,162 times in the Bible. God wants us to be givers. God wants us to be givers, not takers. He made us this way. He wants us to be generous as we relate to other people. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to be a giver or do you want to be a taker? You know, you don't like hanging around takers. Eventually you see them for what they are and you see them coming and you go the other way. It's the givers of life that impact the world, that change lives, God wants us to be generous. But note the second thing, that generosity reflects the heart of God. God is generous. That's why Jesus told this story. It's to say, here's the story. It reflects the heart of God. Think of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God is generous. Think about that. You know, we use this verse and we just kind of throw it out there and then we move on because it's so familiar, that God so loved the world that he gave his son. That word gave is pretty powerful. What is he saying? He's saying that the God of the universe left heaven and came to earth. Just think about that for a few moments. Think of leaving heaven and coming to earth. That alone is a pretty big deal. But then think about this. He left heaven to come to earth. God of the universe, the God who spoke the worlds into existence, came into the world as a baby. A baby. Helpless. Dependent. Can you imagine that? The God of the universe, dependent. Needing a diaper change. That feels a little weird. The God of the universe. But imagine this. The God of the universe, all-powerful, crucified on a cross for the sins of the world. Can you grasp that? What love that is. What sacrifice. What generosity for God to do that for us. To die on a cross for our sins. To carry on himself the sins of the world. How powerful that is. It reflects the heart of God whenever we're generous. Whenever we reach out and show this kind of generosity to others. Whenever we give sacrificially of our time, of our finances, of our energy, of our effort, of our ministry, of our emotions. Whenever we give ourselves to other people, it reflects the heart of God. Now, here's the thing, when I think about God's generosity. It's not like God was sitting up in heaven and going, I gotta do this. I don't want to do this, but I gotta do this. Have you ever been that way? I gotta be generous. You know, my mama used to make us help each other. I gotta help my brother. You know, I don't want to do it, but I gotta do it. Now, is that generosity? No, that doesn't honor the Lord. You know why God acted generously? Because he is generous. You see, it's an overflow of his heart. It's an overflow of his nature, an overflow of his character. It's not like God is saying, listen, church, I want you to go home and try to be generous. I know it's going to kill you. I know it's going to be rough, but I want you to make yourself be generous. That's not really the idea. You know what? If you're a stingy person, you got a spiritual problem. Because, see, the more we walk with Jesus, the more time we spend with him, the more like Christ we become, generosity overflows out of our heart as a natural expression of God's presence there. Our generosity reflects the nature of God, and it reflects the presence of God in our lives. As a matter of fact, I'd say this. If you would evaluate yourself honestly, which is pretty tough to do about this topic, because we all want to be generous. But if we could evaluate ourselves honestly about this topic and determine that we're really not that generous, maybe it would say to us, we really need to go spend some time with the Lord. Maybe we're not walking with God as we should. Maybe we don't even know God as our Savior. Maybe that's where we need to start. Or as a Christian, maybe what I need to be doing is, maybe I need to be walking with Jesus. I need to spend some time in his word, and I need to worship, and I need to pray, and I need to meet with him, because I want his nature to be my nature. It reflects the heart of God. See, the opposite of generosity is greed. Isn't that right? It's greed. Think about what Proverbs 15:27 says. Greed brings grief to the whole family. Isn't that true? It brings grief. There's consequences. Whenever we're opposite of God, whenever we're not like God, it brings sorrow, brings heartache. And God wants our families, our lives to be blessed. So generosity reflects the heart and the nature of God. But also note that generosity simply honors God. Obviously, Jesus told this story because he wants us to be generous people. Think about Proverbs 14:30-31. It says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. It honors God when we reach out and bless other people. You know, whenever we reflect God's nature, I think he's pleased. You know, as a father, I got a lot of qualities I don't want my kids to emulate. But whenever I see my kids doing something like me that I think is good, I kind of like that. When I see my kids making a decision like I would make a decision on something in a good way, it honors me. I'm kind of a, I would prefer to use the word frugal, but maybe the word tightwad is probably a little more realistic. It makes me feel good when I see my kids make a wise decision about how to use their financial resources. That just thrills me. When I see them research and study before they buy something and get the best deal. You know what we do at Christmas? We not only give gifts, but we tell what a good deal we got, you know? Hey, you think that's nice? Let me tell you how much I paid for it. I mean, it was nothing. And we're like, whoa, that's awesome. Are you that way? Whenever you see your kids reflecting something about your nature that you think is a really positive thing, does it just bless you? I think it does. Think about our Heavenly Father. Whenever we are acting in a way that reflects His character and His nature, it honors Him. It honors Him. And I think that whenever we're generous, we're reflecting the nature and the heart of God as it relates to the world. And it blesses Him. God's so blessed when we're generous. And that's really what Paul is talking about, 2 Corinthians 9:11. Says, you'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. We've been made rich. And he said, I'm not rich. Yes, you are. Do you know, if you live in the United States of America, you have a home and you have a job, you're in the top 2% of the wealth of the moneymakers, of the people of wealth in our world. We're wealthy people. And God's blessed us so that we can reach out and generously bless other people. And we do. When we do that, it results in thanksgiving to God. So it honors Him. So we've got to understand the basis of generosity. But here's the second thing we can see from this story. We need to overcome some of the barriers to generosity. These guys had some barriers. We don't know what their deal was. But it talks about this priest who was going down the road. He saw him. He passed on the other side. This Levite also came to the place. He passed on the other side. Why did they do that? We can only guess. Of course, it's just a fictional story. But let me ask you, why is it that you're stingy sometimes? What is it that keeps us from being generous? I think one thing is simply misunderstanding. Maybe if this priest and Levite were real, maybe they misunderstood their place. Maybe they thought the world revolved around them. You ever been that way? The world revolves around me. Whatever I want to do is most important. We have that tendency sometimes. We become very selfish. The fact is, we're born selfish. And unless we can harness that, I think it's going to rob us of the joy of being a generous person. We have a misunderstanding. We misunderstand that God owns everything. He owns the world. He owns us. The world doesn't revolve around you. It revolves around God. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 24:1. You might want to write this scripture down. I did not put it on your notes. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. I think whenever we're not generous, it's because we just misunderstand. We don't seem to get it. That everything we have belongs to God. And He tells us to bless other people with it. It's like if I were to give you $5 and say, hey, would you go give this to somebody and just bless them today? You pocket that $5 and say, I don't think I want to do that. That $5 isn't yours, it's mine. And I just told you to go bless somebody. See, God's given us everything that we have. Everything we have belongs to Him. Our money, our time, all of our resources, our family, our homes, our cars, everything that we have belongs to God. It's not ours. The audacity of us to look at God and say, no, I don't think I'll do that. I don't think I want to be generous with my stuff. It's not your stuff. It's not my stuff. It belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's. Everything in it belongs to Him. So I think we have this misunderstanding, and I think it's a huge barrier to generosity. We have this mentality that says, I better hold on to this instead of giving it away. Misunderstanding. Here's another thing is simply selfishness. We're just selfish people sometimes. Just wrapped around what we want. The thing that I've learned is that a generous hand comes from a generous heart. And what we have to learn how to do is to die to self. You know, Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you got to die to yourself. You got to take up your cross daily and follow me, He said. Why do you think Jesus said you got to take up your cross daily? Because here's what happens. That old self continues to creep in and continues to demand for attention. And so we've got to die every day. We've got to surrender ourselves to God and say, I'm going to put myself on the back burner. Jesus is all in all in me. He is front and center. He is the supreme commander of my life, and I surrender myself to him. And here's what I've learned in my life. I can do that right now. I can make that kind of commitment. But I'm telling you, an hour from now, I'll forget about that commitment. Have you ever done that? It's like, what was I thinking? Jesus is the commander. I'm not. My life is his. It's not mine. I forgot that. See, here's what I think you got to do. I think you got to, if you, this whole issue of lordship of Christ, if you really want Jesus to be in charge of your life, if you want to conquer selfishness and conquer sin in your life, you can't just surrender to Jesus one time and that's it. Matter of fact, you can't just surrender to Jesus one time a day and that's it. You got to surrender to Jesus every moment. Give this moment to Jesus, and this moment to Jesus, and this moment to Jesus, this struggle to Jesus, this attitude to Jesus. I surrender to Jesus, and little by little, you string a bunch of moments together, and you have a day that honors the Lord. That's how we do it. If you want to be a generous person, you need to say, God, there's so much in me that does not want to be generous, but I want to reflect your nature today. So I surrender this moment to you. Show me how I can be generous to somebody with my time today, with my money. Show me how I can bless somebody. I want to be a generous person. I don't want to be selfish. Proverbs 23:6-8 talks about this stingy man. Says, do not eat the food of a stingy man. Do not crave his delicacies. For he's the kind of man who's always thinking about the cost, always thinking about himself. God says, don't be that way. Don't even let that define you. Don't even want to hang out with those kind of people, he says. Don't be selfish. Here's another barrier is deception. Now, we can only surmise what these two guys were, if this were a true reality, what was it? But I think they were deceived. The people in this story would have to be deceived because they seemed to think it was all about them. They seemed to think that they were on an errand that was more important than reaching out and blessing somebody. See, it's easy to be deceived. The deceiver wants to confuse us. He lies to us. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:14. The scripture says, no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Have you ever noticed that? Satan doesn't come along and tempt you with horns and pitchfork. No, what he does is he comes along and tempts us in ways that's appealing, in ways that's inviting, in ways that seems to make sense, in ways that seems to resonate with our nature and our being. I think that a number of Christians would like to be generous, but frankly, we've gotten deceived. We've been sucked in. Maybe we were sucked in a while back, and now we're paying the consequence of that. Maybe we're in trouble because we bought into a lie. Matter of fact, I guarantee you this. If I were to take a poll here and say, how many of us here today would like to be a tither, give 10% of our income? How many of us would like to give 20% of our income to the ministry, to the Lord? How many of you would like to just bless people and be generous? I think that most of us would say, I really would like to do that. But many of us here have made decisions along the way that have hindered that have hurt that. We've bought into the lies of our culture and the lies of the world and the lies of Satan. You see, the lies of our enemy says that debt's good, that you need to be in debt. Matter of fact, that's just how our culture thinks. If you want to go buy something, you got to go get a loan. Maybe we need to change our thinking that says, you know, maybe debt's not so good. Maybe we need to get out of debt. Matter of fact, I just challenge us. As we're thinking about growing in 2016, why not sit down and look at your financial statement and say, what do I need to do to get out of debt? I challenge us to do that. Get yourself on a path. Figure it out. It may take you a while. It took you a while to get in it. It may take you a while to get out of it. But you know what? You'll never get out of it until you start. Baby steps, baby steps, baby steps. And you know what? 5 years from now, maybe 10 years from now, you can be debt-free. Why not? The lie of our enemy says debt's good. I think the lie of our enemy says that our value is determined by our material possessions. You ever thought about that? I'm important because look what all I have. Look what kind of car I drive. Look at my house. Isn't this awesome? Ooh, I am really something. What you have means absolutely nothing about your value. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This is all vanity, he says. You know, if we were to ask you, how much money do you, whatever your income is, how much money do you need to make? We would probably all say, just a little bit more. Just a little. If I could just make just a little. If I can just a little more. I don't need millions, just a little more. See, we always want more, and it's the idea that says, I don't have enough. And God says, yeah, yes, you do. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. It's really a spiritual issue. God says, don't be deceived. Our value is not determined by our material possessions. There's also a line in our culture that says, buy now, pay later, right? We just run out and buy. Another one is, I'm entitled. I'm just entitled. You owe me. There's so many things that the enemy whispers into our ear, deceptions. And I think it robs us. And then later on down the road, we're like, man, I wish I could be generous, but I can't be generous. I'm strapped. I just challenge you to say, oh, you know what, I'm gonna go down another path. I want to be a generous person. I want to reflect the nature of God. I want to be a giver. I don't want to be a taker. I want to honor the Lord, not just with my money, but with everything. I want to honor the Lord. And you know where it could start? It could start by turning a deaf ear to the lies of our culture and to the lies of our enemy. And to say, you know what? I'm going to be generous today. I'm going to do something for somebody. I'm going to sit down and play Barbies with my little girl. I'm gonna take my son out to do something. I'm gonna do something special for my wife or for my husband. I want to be a generous person. Don't miss the opportunity to be generous. I'm kicking myself because of something I did last week. I was in McDonald's going to get a cup of coffee. I was gonna sit in the back and read a little while, and there was this woman in front of me. And I had this inclination to pay for her breakfast. And she was a senior citizen, and I just had this thought, I ought to pay for her breakfast. I didn't do it. You know why I didn't do it? I don't know why I didn't do it. Maybe I was stingy at the moment. Maybe I wanted to be in my own little world. Maybe I thought, she's going to think I'm weird if I reach up and pay for her breakfast. I think I missed an opportunity. I wonder if God was tapping me on the shoulder and say, why don't you buy her breakfast? Maybe she'd been having a rough morning. Maybe she needed an affirmation from God that he had not abandoned her. I don't know. I don't know what the deal was. But for some reason, I had the inclination to do it, and I ignored it. Have you ever done that? Boy, I wish I could go back to McDonald's and buy her breakfast. I hate that. I don't know who that woman was. I've never seen her before. I may have never see her again. That moment passed. It was a window of opportunity to be generous. And I didn't do it. So, you know what my resolve is now since then? When that inclination hits me, I am not going to ignore it. I'm going to be generous. I'm going to bless people. I'm going to help people. I want to go the extra mile. Whatever it is, I want to do that. If that thought crosses my mind, don't stifle it. So what can you do to be generous this week? What I think if we wanted to defeat the deception of our culture, of our age, and of our enemy, I think we have to be proactive and say, I want to take some steps to be a generous person. I want to overcome these barriers to generosity in my life. Here's the final thing I think that Jesus would have us to do in response to this story, and that's simply embrace the blessing of generosity. Embrace it. There's huge blessing when we're generous. You know, whenever you live God's way, it's the best deal. Can we just say that? If you'll just do life God's way, that's the best way. Isn't that a great word for our students today? If you'll just do life God's way, that's the best way. If you'll obey Him, if you'll follow His word, if you'll just keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and whatever it is that He says do it His way. I'm telling you, it's the best way. Our culture says, no, you don't need to. Yes, follow Jesus. Follow His word. It's the best way. It's the right way. Proverbs 28:27 says, he who gives to the poor will lack nothing, but he who closes his eyes to them receives many curses. Do you believe that? If you're a giver, if you bless other people, you say, well, I don't know. I don't have much in there. I better not give too much or I won't have anything left. I'm telling you, the more we give, it's like the more God gives. The more we open up our pockets, the more God opens up His pocket. It's the most amazing thing. Actually, Malachi 3:10 tells us that. It tells us that if we'll bless others, God will bless us. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous man will prosper he refreshes others, will himself be refreshed. You know, one of the greatest solutions to personal struggle in your life and depression, emotional problems, just start blessing other people. You know, that's why I counsel. Whenever someone loses a loved one, I counsel them, just start blessing other people. Start serving others. I'm telling you, it'll pull you out of that. It'll pull you through that. It'll get your perspective right. You'll start being used by God to bless other people. And I'm telling you, it brings so much joy to your life whenever you step out and just help somebody else. Whenever you make somebody else the focus of your life and not yourself. It's the most amazing thing. Go serve somebody. Go help somebody. Go be generous. Give somebody some money. Do it secretly if you need whatever. Whatever it is that you need to do, just go bless somebody. See, selfishness robs us of life's joy, but generosity restores it. Think about Proverbs 28:25. It says, a greedy man stirs up strife. The opposite of generosity is greed. A greedy man is going to stir up strife. If you really want to be blessed, don't do that. Sometimes I think the rewards that we receive from our generosity can be material things. But a lot of times it's not. A lot of times it's just the joy in our heart. It's the thrill of being used by God to make a difference in somebody's life. It's the peace of knowing that we're in step with God and we're reflecting His nature. It's the understanding that we're dependent upon God and not ourselves. That we're trusting Him. You know, really, if you think about it, that's the whole idea. Whenever God says, I want you to be a giver, we say, I don't know, I can't afford it. God says, look, I'm the one who takes care of you. Just obey me. And I'll take care of you. Our giving is reflecting that. It's saying, I want to be a giver because God tells me to, so I want to reflect Him to the world. It opens up our hearts. It opens up our lives to be blessed and receive the blessing of Almighty God. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, he said, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Have you ever experienced that? You just go give, and you walk away like, man, I am so blessed. That I went to go help somebody, but guess what? I was the one helped. Isn't that amazing? You go on a mission trip to serve, and guess what? You come home served. You go to the nursing home to spend some time with an elderly person, you walk away just feeling enriched. Whenever we bless, whenever we give, whenever we are generous, we're the ones that's blessed. We need to embrace the blessing of generosity. Do you understand the basis of generosity? That it really, God commands us to be generous, but it's His nature, it reflects His heart. It's an overflow of our walk with Him. Let me ask you a question. What barriers do you have in your own life to generosity? And what are you going to do about it? Because here's the thing. We can go, I get this going on. Well, what are you going to do about it? What steps are you going to take? Do you realize that if you don't take some action today, you're going to be in the same place next year? You'll be at 2017 going, yeah, I need to make these commitments. Well, make a commitment today that says, here's what I'm going to do. I want to be a generous person. I want to grow in this area. It may start with a baby step. In the area of finances, it might start with a baby step of an offering. Maybe you don't really give on a regular basis. Well, just give an offering. Just take a step toward God. Maybe when you go to lunch today, it would be, I'm going to buy lunch for this family. I was talking in my former church, I was talking about this whole idea, and I challenged my church to do this. I said, hey, when you go to lunch today, why don't you buy the meal for the person behind you? And so one of the guys on staff, he's you know, you think I'm a tightwad. He's like major tightwad, capital T. And so he said he's going to put that to practice. He came back to staff meeting the next day. He said, I did what you said. You won't believe what happened. And he said, I drove up to the window at the drive-thru, and I was going to do it. I was going to bless the family behind me, and, you know, I was going to pay for their meal. And so I told him that. And it was like a family of 30, you know. He had, you know, a van full of people, and he had to bless them. So what are you going to do this week to apply this principle? What steps are you going to take? If you don't take steps toward generosity today, you're going to be stingy tomorrow. What action will you do? I'd ask you to spend some time with the Lord and just understand that God has called us to be generous as we relate to others in the world. I want to close with this quote from George Bush, George W. Bush. It was the State of the Union address after 9/11. He said, "For too long, our culture has said, if it feels good, do it. Now America is embracing a new ethic and a new creed. Let's roll. And the sacrifice of soldiers, the fierce brotherhood of firefighters, and the bravery and generosity of ordinary citizens, we have glimpsed what a new culture of responsibility could look like. We want to be a nation that serves goals larger than self. We've been offered a unique opportunity, and we must not let this moment pass." Those are words from a president to a nation. Imagine God's word to us as His church. Let's not let this moment pass. There's somebody today that you need to be generous to. There's somebody this week that you need to reach out to. There's somebody that's going to cross your path. You need to reflect the nature of God to. By doing so, it may open up their heart to the message of the gospel. It may help them find a moment of hope and inspiration and encouragement. Would you be willing to say, "God, use me this week. I really want to be a generous person"? Could we bow our heads together, please, and let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you for including this story in your word about a man who was generous. Didn't have to be. He could have passed on the other side and probably no one would have thought anything about it. But in this story, he sacrificed and he was generous. And I pray that you would help us to take to heart the things that Jesus said, to go and show mercy just like this guy. Help us to be generous people. We know that that honors you. We know it reflects your nature to the world. It's part of our witness. So I pray for us here in this room. I realize there may be someone here that's not a Christian. Yeah, they've considered the claims of Christ. They've thought about it. And maybe they're ready to cross over. I pray that you would tap them on the shoulder this morning and urge them into your family. And maybe today they would make a decision to trust you. So, Lord, I pray that as we wrap up this series, that we would just not be content to be in the same place next year as we are today in any area of our life. But that we would seek to grow. We want to be more like Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. How do you implement all these things we've been talking about over these weeks? How do you do that?